Welcome to Bed Crime Stories Podcast. I'm your host, T. I hope you guys are having a great time. To anyone new here, a warm welcome. Thank you so much for checking out the channel. All I ask is after watching and or listening to the video, if you find you enjoyed it or you learned something, do me a favor, smash that like button and consider subscribing. Now, without further ado, let's get started. What I'm going to share with you today comes from an interview between FBI agents and Katie McManawa's brother, Francis. The interview can be found on the YouTube channel, Deep Dive True Crime, and I'll leave a link to it in the description. It turns out there are two female criminals in the McManawa family, Katie and Katie's sister-in-law, or former sister-in-law, Samantha McManawa. Samantha was arrested in March of 2018. Forget this, embezzling $1.9 million from her employer, Quintana Lopez Donahue and Gonzalez, an accounting firm in South Florida. Samantha was charged with grand theft of over $100,000 after her arrest by the Plantation Police Department. FYI, Samantha is the wife of Katie's older brother, Francis McManawa, and Samantha had worked for the accounting firm for many, many years, more than 25, and she'd basically started in a lower-level position and worked her way up to office manager. In the beginning, Samantha took small amounts, but as time went by and nobody caught her, she began taking more and more money. Now, in 2018, when this arrest happened, poor Francis McManawa was already trying to understand his sister Katie's role in the Markell murder-for-hire plot. You may recall that Katie was arrested in October of 2016, and she was charged as being a co-conspirator in Markell's death, along with her common-law husband and her baby daddy, Sigfredo Garcia, and also Luis Rivera, who was Garcia's best friend. So Katie McManawa was already incarcerated and facing the prospect of her first trial when her sister-in-law Samantha was arrested. I say first trial because when Katie and Sigfredo were tried together, Sigfredo was found guilty, but the jury was hung when it came to Katie's guilt. Now, Francis and his wife Samantha were caring for Katie and Sigfredo's son and daughter, along with their own two children, when Samantha was arrested. In addition to all of that, Francis and Katie's mother was in the middle of a battle with cancer at the time. So Francis was likely under a lot of stress when his wife was arrested and when he sat down with the FBI for a chat. By the way, his wife Samantha apparently blew half of the $1.2 million on a spiritual healer named Caridad Herrera. How much you want to bet this whole story, the Adelsons, the McManawas, is going to be made into a bad Lifetime movie? They could get the guy who played in The Hobbit to be Charlie Adelson because of the big blue eyes and the mop of curly hair. Can't you see it? Now note that what the investigators were interested in was that Katie introduced Samantha to the spiritual healer. Thus, investigators naturally wondered if Samantha's case was connected in some way to the Dan Markell murder case. And one big question was, did Samantha take some of the loot to help Katie and Sigfredo pay for their defense attorneys? So this is why the investigators decided to chat with Francis McManawa, who is, again, Samantha's husband and Katie's brother. Francis made it known from the start that he would fully cooperate with law enforcement. The only thing that he asked was that his lawyer be present with him during the chat. And when Francis was in an interrogation room, Katie's then defense attorney Christopher DeCoste showed up. Thus, Katie and Francis's lawyer was the same person, Christopher DeCoste. The investigators wanted to speak with Francis, not about his wife's case, but rather about his sister's. And this is because Samantha had fully confessed to the embezzlement, so the cops pretty much had that case all wrapped up. They were more interested in finding out if Francis knew anything about Dan Markell's murder and the Adelsons. The FBI told Francis that they wanted to get to the people who were behind the plot to do in Dan Markell. And they believed that Katie could supply that information. But Katie had turned down the FBI's offer of full immunity. But Katie refused to spill the beans on Charlie Adelson because she didn't want to throw Sigfredo Garcia under the bus. She wasn't saying that in 2018, but that was what she said later when she did decide to spill the beans on Charlie. The FBI was hoping that Francis could talk Katie into taking the immunity deal. They said they didn't want to see her go to prison for life because it would leave her two children without their father and their mother. The FBI agent told Francis that the evidence was such that both Katie and Sigfredo would definitely be convicted and they would be spending the rest of their lives in prison. One of the agents told Francis his sister Katie was involved in Markell's death, but she wasn't the one who came up with the idea. Now note that throughout the chat, at least in the beginning, Francis kept telling the FBI agent how much he respected him for being straightforward with him. The agent had made it clear to Francis that the FBI wanted to speak to him about Katie's case, not about Samantha's. I don't know if Francis repeated that bit about respect so many times because he was relieved that the cops weren't going to charge him in connection with his wife's crime, or if he was hoping to establish a good rapport with the agents so that if anything could be done to lower the amount Samantha owed back to her employer, that somehow the FBI could help with that. That was a lot of that's. The first question Francis asked was, "How can I help you with my wife's case?" And the police said, "You can't. Your wife confessed, so it's a done deal. She's probably looking at 10 years in prison, and her bond is set at $10,000. So the FBI agent said, "If you can help with the Adelson case, we might be able to help you with Samantha's situation." Francis then asked, "Why hasn't anyone tried to speak to us sooner about Katie's case?" The agent said they thought that Francis would not cooperate with them because Katie had refused to cooperate. Francis told the agent that he'd only briefly met Charlie Adelson at a party, and he'd never met any of the other Adelsons. Now, I think the party that Francis is referring to is the one where Charlie Adelson said he was allegedly attacked by Katie's male Filipino relative. And the reason we know about this is because Jeffrey LaCoste told law enforcement that when he stayed at Charlie's home with his sister Wendy, while they were in the hot tub, Charlie mentioned that he'd punished Katie for taking him to this party where he got attacked, and he punished her by doing something to her body that she hadn't necessarily agreed to. I can't say it on YouTube. It has to do with her derriere. Basically, it was a vile and disgusting thing for Charlie to be boasting about because he said he forced it on her. Back to Francis. Francis said that he didn't know that Katie had an arrangement with the Adelson Dental Institute. Francis couldn't say why Katie was refusing to spill the beans about the Adelsons. The agent said he was worried that maybe the Adelsons had threatened Katie if she didn't keep her mouth shut. Francis explained that Katie never talked about anything related to Charlie Adelson. He also said they were all much more focused on their mother at that time, and Mama McBanua was absolutely devastated when she heard what her daughter Katie had been accused of. The FBI told Francis that the family behind Dan Markell's death used his sister Katie, and that they're still going on cruises and having a great time, while Katie and Sigfredo and Louis are the ones paying for their crime. The FBI agent pressed Francis to go to the jail where Katie was staying and see if he could convince her to take the immunity deal. But Francis didn't seem to think he could go to the jail and talk to Katie. Francis said he couldn't go to the jail because he had to watch Katie and Sigfredo's children, and he hadn't told them where their parents were, so he didn't want to take them with him and go to the jail. I'm assuming he would have had to make the long 7+ hour drive from South Florida to Tallahassee. The agent suggested that perhaps his wife Samantha could watch the kids when he visits Katie. The agent told Francis to tell Katie that she was, quote, dragging his life down, end quote. And by dragging down, the FBI agent meant that Francis now had Katie's two kids, both of whom are said to have learning disabilities or special needs, along with his own two children, and now his wife's legal and financial woes. The FBI agent explained that Dan Markell's kids were now being raised by the Adelsons, who weren't allowing Dan's family to see his kids. The main message the FBI wanted to get across was that he wasn't interested in incarcerating Katie for life and leaving her and Sigfredo's kids without parents. Instead, the FBI desperately wanted evidence against the Adelsons. The FBI then suggested that perhaps the reason Katie didn't want to talk about the Adelsons or take the immunity deal was because maybe the Adelsons had threatened her or her family. After all, Katie had seen how Charlie had no qualms about arranging for another person's death, and he had the means to make that happen again, if he wanted to. What's odd is that Samantha's attorney was William Barcy, so why did Katie's lawyer, Christopher DeCoste, show up for the conversation with the FBI and Francis McBanawa? Why was DeCoste trying to help Samantha and Francis? Note that Samantha filed for divorce from Francis in November of 2018, so that would have been 8 months after her arrest. The divorce was finalized in May of 2019. Samantha ended up taking a plea deal and was convicted of grand theft. And in September of 2019, she received a 10-year sentence. She should be out by 2028. She has paid a little over $273,000 back. As for Katie McBanawa, clearly no one was able to talk her into accepting the immunity deal. She is now spending the rest of her life in prison. And tragically, her mother died while she was incarcerated. You would think that knowing that her mother had this illness, she would have taken that immunity deal. So she doesn't take the get out of prison free card. And then she goes on to spill the beans on Charlie Adelson after she's convicted and sentenced to life. By the way, Francis denies the Adelsons helped pay for Katie's lawyers, and Katie's lawyers, Tara Kawas and Christopher DeCoste, also denied that they were being paid by the Adelsons. They say that Katie's family came up with the money. Samantha's lawyers tried to get her a sentence of just probation. Her lawyers argued that, one, Samantha had a difficult childhood with a cold mother, two, Samantha was married to Francis McBanawa because he was the only man who ever gave her any attention. And according to Samantha's attorneys, Francis became an abusive, controlling husband who cheated on her. The lawyers also stated that Samantha was overly burdened when she was forced to care for both her own children as well as Katie's and Sigfredo's. And Samantha also, per her lawyers, was the sole breadwinner in the family. I think it's strange that the McBanawas have two people in the family who were involved in such serious crimes. I can see having one family member like that, but having two? That's all for today. Until the next time on Bedcrime Stories.
Katie, you're going to go to prison the rest of your life. You never see your kids again. They're never going to see you. And you're going to be stuck raising them. Unless she does.
That's what I'm doing right now. I'm stuck with that.
Yeah. You know, she can do something to change it. Ask her. Talk to her. She's been offered deals from the state attorney's office. I'm not the one to offer deals. I'm just an agent. I'm an investigator.
Understood.
I don't offer people deals. But the state attorney's office has offered her deals. They have done that.
And this is how we look at it. You know, there's a good case against Tito. There's a good case against Katie. They're going down no matter what. It's, do you want to let these other people, the ones who put them in the situation, walk free? They're out there walking free. They're, and not get them. That's the reason why the deal has been offered to Katie. It's not, oh, because a lot of people get it misconstrued. Oh, they're offering a deal. They must not have a case. No, that's not the case. Because that's a lot of people's thought. And that's probably what a lot of the attorneys say too. Oh, they're offering a deal. That means they're scared of trial. That's not the case. Deals are being offered because we want that other family. We want the people who put them in this position and put your whole family, because they took advantage of people that's not them.
And I'm going to tell you exactly why they want that family so bad. You know who Dan Markell is. You know the name. He's a professor at FSU that was shot and killed. He had two kids. Mm-hmm. Those two kids are now being raised by the Adelsons. They will not let Dan Markell's parents see those kids anymore.
Yeah, so that doesn't... That's a lower tail.
Yeah. You understand that those people want the Adelson so bad, they're putting the pressure on the state attorney's office to give Katie a deal. They want Katie to get a deal so they can get the Adelsons arrested. That's the truth of the matter, okay? That's why Katie's getting deals. Not because we have a weak case, because we don't have a weak case. We have a very good case against Katie. And Katie's getting offered a deal because of the family. Because they're the ones that caused this. They're the ones that did this. That's why. That's who we are trying to get.